you're listening to Going to Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. That's what they tell me. And with us this evening, we have a numerologist, Julia Chambers. She is wonderful, creative, on the edge of numerology. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Elaine.
I've known Julia for quite a while, and I know her work, so it's very in-depth, and she takes a tremendous amount of time with her clients. Her work is really different. She approaches numerology a little differently than a lot of people do, and her readings show us that. Let me give you some numbers out there that you can call in. If you are in the United States, you can call 1-877-270-8714. If you're in Canada, 1-888-284-3264. We invite you to call in at any time during our hour and often as you would like. We have an hour and we won't be interrupted. We'll be signing off about 25 after, so don't wait too long. She has a website. Julia has a website. Is it still www.dragontea.net?
Yeah, that's my main website right now. I have a numerology website. It's enumerations.com. But, you know, being someone who is creating their own websites on my own spare time, it hasn't gotten fully developed. So most of my information is still on dragontea.net.
And I love that website. It's a fun website.
I try to put everything there, and eventually I have like 15 different domains that I'm working on separating things out eventually, so, you know, into sections. But for now, a lot of stuff's being dumped there, so it makes it a little bit easier since all of this is kind of a spare time sort of deal. So
I look at numerology as kind of a different language. Is that how you approach it?
It is a language. That's one of the things I try to emphasize to people when they're asking me questions or I'm giving a lecture, is to understand that numbers in and of themselves, when you get into it for numerology, it is like a language that you can't exactly interpret into English, you know, straight off the bat. It's not a word-for-word thing. You know, each number has an entire book of meaning behind it. And it is one of those things that when you become familiar with it after a while, that it's almost a subconscious kind of spiritual language.
I know just enough about numerology to do my tarot cards and get me in trouble. But I think you have to be wired. I think your brain has to be wired a certain way to deal with astrology and numerology. Do you find that they go hand in hand, or are you an astrologer as well as a numerologist?
Actually, I don't do a whole lot with astrology. I know a few things. I tend to kind of look at that as, you know, numerology is the aspects that I'm just consumed by, I guess you could say. I'm driven to study or to learn about. But there are plenty of other people out there who are great at being experts in astrology. I can't be an expert in every single thing. I have a smattering of some knowledge. I'll go talk to some of my astrology friends and go, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You know, we'll compare notes at times. I'll say, well, this is what I see for the next year in numerology. What are you seeing in astrology? But as far as really getting into the science of astrology, I mean, it's incredibly in-depth, just as numerology is. I mean, it takes a lifetime to learn. So for me, I'm very comfortable with just focusing especially on numerology. That's kind of what you could say is my specialty. Even though I use a smattering of different things at the same time, and I may draw upon some information from astrology or even from tarot, but it's not something that I use a lot of. I wouldn't call myself an astrologist.
What's the history with numerology? How far back do you think you can go to say this became a science or this became a subject and recognize be of benefit to us as human beings?
Well, in the history of numerology, if we try to reach as far back as we know we have records of, probably the earliest numerology that we know of for certain is comes from the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans, that was part of the early mystery schools. Chaldean numerology is very different than Western numerology, and they assigned meanings by vibrations and sounds, and they would give each of these vibrational sounds a number. They also only used the numbers 1 through 8, though, and they saved 9. 9 was a very special magical number that they did not trust their acolytes with. You had to be initiated way up the ladder before you finally even got to learn about 9, which they believed encompassed all the other vibrations. And so this is where we see the beginning of numerology. There are actually quite a few books you can find on Chaldean numerology. There are some numerologists who prefer that method. But again, I mean, if you were to make a chart, and I don't know for the listeners out there who may not be familiar with how you assign numerology in terms of letters, but according to the Chaldeans, they would take the alphabet and they would assign each letter 1 through 8 and then start over again at 1. So it makes an entirely different chart after the number 8 than what we traditionally used for Western, what's considered Western numerology. Western numerology itself, I'm sorry, you were going to ask me something.
Well, about when did Western numerology take the place of Chaldean, yeah.
Okay, and that's where I was heading for next. Pythagoras is pretty much considered the father of numerology, which, of course, he's also one of our greatest mathematicians in history. You know, obviously gave us the Pythagorean theorem. But Pythagoras was a unique individual of his time. He traveled the world to be initiated into various mystery schools. He did learn from the Chaldeans. He also learned, he went to Egypt, and he learned Kabbalah there, and it's reported that he traveled all over the world, the known world at the time, and learned something from everybody. He had a unique belief for his time, which I think is great because it's perfect for our times as well, that there was a bit of that every culture basically had a piece of what was considered the whole truth. And so he was traveling around to get all those pieces and try to put it together. And he's the one who pretty much gave us the foundation for what we consider Western numerology today. He had basically a couple of sayings that have sort of become the foundation of all of this, one of them being that everything lies in numbers. And his other, quote that he's quoted for all the time and in references to math and numbers and stuff was evolution is the law of life, number is the law of the universe, and unity is the law of God. But the idea being that in Pythagorean thought, that when you come down to the base foundation of everything that is physical, then it all boils down to number. But that it also was like a bridge into the spiritual world. And that no matter where we were, whether we were on earth or he looked up into the heavens at the heavenly bodies, that they all operated under the same law of number.
Law of number.
Mm-hmm.
Let's explain what you mean by that. Numbers don't change in meaning. In other words, the number 4 means something, the number 1, the number 2, the number 3, mm-hmm. period. That's what you mean by the law of number?
Right, and it is important to explain where numerology is concerned. Numerology is one of the oldest sciences. There's 3 main sciences, astrology, numerology, and tarot, that have been with us for ever, you know. And numerology, however, is one of the few of all of the what's considered metaphysical, esoterical, what have you, that marriages both the right and the left brains. It marriages the physical world with the spiritual, because numbers can be used as figures on the physical world to measure things on a material plane, but numbers also operate on the spiritual plane, representing qualities and characteristics and what have you. They have a spiritual energy vibration to them, and a lot of the numerologists that are really into you know, have really done their study, are going to talk about how numbers represent vibrations and that this is part of the key to everything around us. You know, we talk about vibration when we talk about manifesting. We talk about vibration when we talk about the power of positive thinking. All of these things can be represented by numbers. Each number, 1 through 9, represents these core 9 qualities. And that, you know, if you look at each one, they are perfect in representing this particular type of energy. And all of these 9 energies exist in this physical universe. You know, and they can all be boiled down to that, basically, is kind of what we can do. In all the studies that have been done that have brought about assigning meanings to numbers, you know, we have made a study of words and what their numbers mean. We've made studies of the world around us and, you know, and looking at leaves and how many points are on a leaf and that these patterns always recur, you know, that mankind has 5 fingers on each hand in most cases. That there are patterns that exist throughout the world that reflect the Creator, so to speak, and that understanding these numbers and these patterns, in a sense, gives us insight into God Himself. Does that make sense?
Yes,
Am I explaining? I get a little worried that sometimes it seems a little complicated.
Numerology is very complicated to me, but you've always explained things to me very well. If I can understand it, and I am not a mathematician, hopefully most of the folks out there can, but that's what the phone numbers are for. U.S. 1-877-270-8714, 1-888-284-3264. If you're in Canada, call in. We'd love to give her some questions. I'm sorry. Go ahead and say what you were saying, Julia Chambers.
Oh, I'm not quite sure where I was at, but hopefully that kind of explains, you know, a little bit of, like, what we look at. I mean, in today's numerology, we still do the same thing. We still study words. We still, like the word light, you know, it vibrates to a certain vibration. And we can see that there are several words that all have the same, when you boil it down to their core base number, they all have similar meanings. And this is not really that coincidental because tone, how we speak, you know, how positive we sound, how we speak to one another does have an effect. It does have a vibration and an energy to it that's either positive or negative. And these numbers, you know, can represent that. Now, I guess, you know, if we're going to start talking about positive and negative, one of the things that I want to point out, and I this is kind of part of my what I feel like I need to point out to the world, if you're going to start looking at numbers, that there is no such thing as a bad number. And there are people that, a lot of times actually, that I get questions from people who are like, well, I don't want to pick the wrong number, or I don't want to pick a bad number, or do I have a bad name, should I change it? And it's not like that. Numbers do not have bad qualities, good qualities, they just are qualities. They have a certain energy which we can then react to positively or negatively. And sometimes some of these energies seem a little discordant. But, you know, ultimately the way I try to emphasize is to understand, you know, that the perfect whole does encompass all 9 of these numbers. The idea is not to avoid any of them. The idea is to understand that, oh, well, 7 is what 7 is, and you appreciate that. You love that. You react positively to that and allow 7 to be 7. Don't try to make 7 3 instead. And that's, you know, and vice versa. So the idea is just an understanding that whenever you are looking at numerology and you're striving to understand yourself or whatever word or date that you're trying to look at and understand, just to look at it in terms of that it is this full, beautiful quality that it is, and you have the choice. I mean, we have free will in this life. You have the choice how that's going to play out for you, you know, and that you have that opportunity to take that energy and use it for what it's designed for, because each one is very gifted in certain qualities, okay? So they're great, you know, Some are really great for certain things. Some are great for social activities. Some are great for, you know, being in solitude. And you use those for what they're intended. Don't try to cram them the opposite direction into what they're not. What I find most of the time when I'm doing numerology readings for people is that when they finally find out what their numbers are, that it almost gives them permission to be who they are. Instead
and how
of
do they do that? How do you tell people what their numbers are? What do you look for? What do you need?
Well, in the form of numerology that I use, I will people's birth date and their birth name down into numbers. Now, everyone has four basic core numbers, or in the case of people who have Y, and I'll explain that here in a second, they have six. People who have Y, because Y can be either a vowel or a consonant, have two extra vibrations. And this is one of the things that Pythagoras also studied. He, in fact, even changed the spelling of his name so that he could experience the Y vibration because he considered it to be very unique and special. And the way I interpret that, because some people are very adamant about, well, if it's a vowel, it's a vowel, and you don't interpret it any other way. I'm of a different school of thought where it really is, in a sense, that this person has extra qualities to them that they chose to bring into this lifetime. And so when I look at people's numbers, I look at that. And it depends. It really does depend on what is on their birth certificate. Now, I have some people say, well, this is my name on my birth certificate, but I don't like that name, and I go by this instead. And that's great. I will look at that. But ultimately, because one of the principles we are governed by in numerology is that what is bound on earth is also bound in heaven and vice versa. And so whenever we do in a legal way to, you know, say before God and state and whatever, that this is who I am, then that is what we look at. And a big part of it, too, has to do with, you know, that generally you didn't have a choice in what your name was at birth. And that maybe you did on the spiritual side of things, if we're looking at it from, you know, you being aware before you were born kind of thing, and we can look at that as well. But the idea that physically speaking, you did not have a choice in your name. Your parents were somehow inspired, or something happened somehow that this became your name, and this was etched in stone. And that's what we look at primarily. And then we look, and of course, the birth date. And the birth date, of course, you can never change unless somebody wrote down your name or your birth date wrong. And that does happen in some cases. In that case, I generally try to look at both the correction once it's figured out as well as what was recorded because it was still recorded, quote unquote, in stone. And that still has an effect upon you. So for whatever reason that happened to you, we still look at that because those vibrations can still be, you know, in play. But then we look at those things, we come up with those numbers, and I basically tell people a story about themselves. And a lot of it's inspired, you know, a lot of it in numerology is unchangeable. That's one of the things I do kind of like about it. I mean, there are core basic meanings for these numbers that have been there for centuries. It's not like I'm just coming up with my own meanings. But at the same time, there's an expansion upon that that is somewhat inspired, that basically tells people, you know, pretty much this is kind of, you know, who you are, these are the potentialities, this is, you know, here are the things to watch for. And in general, I find people almost heaving a sigh of relief, going, oh my goodness, this is why. And it helps them, because sometimes people have, you know, experienced a lifetime of being told not to be a certain way. You know, well, you should be this way, or you should be that way. And no, maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they really were being exactly who they were supposed to be. They just need to understand that they do have the choice and the freedom to be that. And life is always a lot easier when you are following your own vibrations because those, your core vibrations have the most influence and pressure upon you in this lifetime. They drive everything about your life, your decisions, because, you know, ultimately, in numerology, and what I try to emphasize a lot is to understand that a vibration in numbers will have their way. You can try to resist your numbers all you want, and eventually it'll break you. You know, so you flow with your vibrations. That's the way you do it. That's what's harmony. When you resist those, you find yourself in all sorts of uncomfortable situations until there comes a point where basically you're broken down and you finally figure out that, oh, this is who I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be going. And,
is that what happens when maybe an accurate birth date or a birth name is not available? You see the person as one thing, but you do their chart and you realize that maybe they were adopted and didn't know or something
like
that?
There are cases where there have been people who felt a sudden sense of relief upon changing their name. Maybe even changing the spelling of the name. Maybe the name didn't actually sound any different, but the letters were changed. You know, maybe a K was substituted instead of a C or what have you. And so I do believe that there are cases where that is definitely a possibility, and that there can be times where, in a sense, there may be some discordant energy in terms of, okay, for whatever reason, the wrong date was there. You could sort of look at that in terms of a struggle, but I also tend to look at that as it doesn't have to be a struggle. For whatever reason, that didn't happen, and, you know, it happened for a reason, and it can be a good thing. So in that regard, okay, maybe your true birth date was this, and that's really the vibration that's driving you, but you still had this one that was recorded, but it's still going to provide a certain amount of influence for whatever reason that brought lessons into your life that need to be brought in or what have you. So I tend to kind of look at it still as not a bad thing. And there are certainly some cases where it can get really interesting trying to figure out, okay, how to interpret some people's names. Now, I don't find, you know, if I'm using a Western-type numerology, it does not work very well if you're trying to work on somebody, let's, for instance, Chinese. There is a type of Chinese numerology. It's incredibly different from Western numerology. And it uses a magic square. And some of the meanings are similar. But ultimately, Chinese numerology was not meant to be used alone. It was a portion of the entire Meng. And so kind of extracting it out of this whole thing that's meant to work together and trying to look at it all by itself is a little bit different than what we are doing with Western-style numerology. I'm not a student of Chinese numerology, but I'm not really satisfied with using it so far of what I have studied into it. But I don't find taking somebody from, say, like China and having their name translated into English and then trying to adapt the English alphabet to work for them very well. And personally, my philosophy on that is because they already have their own system that works very well for them, if that makes sense. That all of the major cultures do have something that works for them. And in that regard, this kind of makes me unique in that I believe that, you know, even though there are so many approaches to numerology, that it doesn't mean that mine's right and yours is wrong, but that they all have truth to them, that they all have a... they bring meaning and freedom to people as they learn about themselves through these different methods, if that makes sense.
So if we were going to move or had a choice of moving to two or three different locations and we said which address and or which date is the best day to move, would that be mm-hmm. prevalent compared to just what's happening in our life according to our numerological chart done
on
just
us? Oh, yeah, you can definitely look at that. One of the things I teach is how numerology actually functions in layers. A lot of times pretty much what I do is I look at people's core numbers. But that's not all that's going on in your life because there are layers of numerology going on because anybody you're living with has their numbers as well, and they do affect you. And, the house you live in has its own energy, and that's another layer. And the block that you live on, that's another layer. And the zip code that you're in, that's another layer. And the country you live in, that's another layer, because each of these could be arguably an entity that has its own core numbers. So
and affecting your life in some way.
Yes. For instance, I actually have an ongoing study that I have not gotten super far in, so I can't go real in-depth into this, but in looking at the numerology of nations, when you, and this takes a little bit of work in trying to understand, because you're looking at a nation's name according to how the people there look at it, not just because, okay, we Americans happen to call this nation Russia. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what the name that should be looked at, if that makes sense. But in going back into it and trying to look at, so to speak, birth dates and seeing what that entails, we can look at, for instance, you know, July 4th, 1776 for the United States of America. Now, a lot of people argue about whether or not that's a true birth date of America, of the United States of America or not. And that's, you know, a great argument. But the fact of the matter is there are so many people who do call it the birthday of the United States of America that, I mean, it's focused on all the time. It is a national holiday. You know, we have all of this energy towards that. That date does affect our entire country. And so we can look at that and see how that kind of affects the entire nation. Well, you can also see how your own numbers kind of interact with that. And you can do the same thing, like you said, with your house. What I usually try to do when people are trying to figure out where to live or what have you, again, reminding people just to remember that each number is not necessarily bad, not necessarily great and wonderful, but understanding what it forms. So if you have certain goals in mind and you're looking, you want a certain type of energy to accomplish a certain thing, or you want your health to be a certain way, yes, you can definitely look at that numerology. But I usually try to tie that into a person's core numbers in and of itself. If a person has one type of an energy that really requires solitude, they, you know, then, and that's what they want to promote in their own home, they might not want to move to a place that really has a very, very social energy to it. And there are those things. I actually did numerology for someone once who, she was having some issues with her roommate, and it was because their numbers were practically opposite. She really needed a lot of space, and her roommate really needed a lot of attention. And that can, you know, if you don't know that and you don't understand that, it could be grating and annoying and grief, you know, why won't this person leave me alone? Why won't this person ever talk to me? Or you can just understand that, oh, well, this is the way this person is. This is what they need. This is what feeds their soul. And the same for this other one. And you come to an understanding of each other that can be compromised and still be, you know, best friends without having to have that seeming discordant energy, because it's not necessarily discordant. It's only, that's really a perception. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. It does. So I could give you a date. I could give you a certain date, and you would know my name, and you could do a chart, and you could pretty much tell me what was happening at that time in my life.
The kind of numerology that I tend to do, there are some numerologists who will work a little more in, as far as, like, current events type. I tend to look at it from a very karmic standpoint. When I'm doing somebody's numbers, I'm looking at the very core of their being and their soul. If you think of a skeleton or a person, okay, the core foundation of that person pretty much you could argue is the skeleton or the framework of a building, and that's what our numbers are. And so I can look at that, and I see the core foundation of who you chose to become, what your goals are in this lifetime, but it's a pretty basic general foundation. And then what you add to that, you know, you can add your astrology to that. You can add your palm readings to that. You can add your personality type. There's all sorts of, your Enneagram. I'm trying to think of, for those who know about the colors, the seven schools of colors, you can add that to it. These are all elements of you that get added on to that core basis. But definitely, as far as my own philosophy as a numerologist, numbers are the foundation of the universe. So therefore, that is the foundation, that is the core. Everything else is added on to that. you know, I'm not going to be able to look into your numbers and see, you know, what color of eyes you were in a past life or something like that. But I do get a view, basically, into who you were before, who you are meant to be now, and what it is, what those driving forces are in your life that, you know, and because there are certain patterns there that do come up at times, I might be able to look at this and go, I bet a lot of times when, you know, things are going on, say like in the U.S., you feel it in your own life. And that happens sometimes to some people because they have similar vibrations to what's going on in the U.S. at the time. So I can look at things like that. But as far as really looking at it and saying, well, this was going on in the world at that time, it's not quite the way it works as far as my methods go. There are other neurologists that do get into that sort of detail. You could say, I mean, a lot of us specialize in different aspects and areas. There are some that have very interesting formulas that are a lot more scientific, a lot more mathematical, you know, in relation to, okay, I'm going to take this astrological thing over here and I'm going to add it to this numerological thing over here and I'm going to mix it in with, you know, your middle name and I'm going to come up with something. And it works for whatever reason, but it's not a formula that I use or that I'm familiar with.
Do you think that, well, first of all, I guess I need to ask your opinion on what a soul does. I ask one of my guests recently if this, well, we all have the same soul, we know that, but if a soul comes back from lifetime to lifetime, because I do believe in reincarnation, comes back from lifetime to lifetime with basic or different talents. Like one lifetime I may be an architect, and the next time I may have a wonderful talent for piano playing, and the next time I may be a priest, but I don't do it all at one time. And what gives me the difference in being able to, and she said that she didn't think it worked that way, that she didn't think that unless you were given the talent to be a fabulous pianist, you probably were never going to be one. You might tinkle, but you weren't going to be a great one. So how do you feel about the soul energy that comes in lifetime to lifetime? Do you think that our soul energy may select different number combinations so that they can experience a different lifetime, energy?
Yes, I do, because, okay, so if I look at somebody's numbers, and one of those numbers happens to be what's called the soul number, it's not to say that, I mean, when I look at that, I'm looking at that, that is information that you're bringing from previous lifetimes, things that you have already mastered, that you're bringing in with you to help you now with what it is you're going to do here. That doesn't mean that you didn't have these other, you know, that you weren't good at something else. It just means this is what you chose to help you now. Because definitely, I mean, and I too believe in reincarnation, although numerology will serve people even if they don't believe that. I mean, you really can get a lot of benefit out of it without even having to look at that if some people have trouble wrapping their minds around that, and that's fine. However, I do approach it from the standpoint of, you know, that you chose to come into this lifetime. You had an idea of what those vibrations were going to be, and these are the tools that you chose to bring with you to accomplish an end goal of mastering a certain vibration. And that's how I tend to look at that. So definitely, you know, we can go from lifetime to lifetime choosing something new. And, you know, there are certain patterns that I, you know, tend to come up time after time. A lot of times when I'm doing readings at psychic fairs, I see certain numbers that come up a lot. You know, and that's because those numbers are drawn to certain types of energies and spiritual things. You know, and then there are other times when I run into other numbers and different types of patterns there. Sometimes I find somebody that seems to be an incredibly, for lack of a better term, new soul. And sometimes what I find is not necessarily somebody that's a new soul, but maybe this is their first time to this planet. And that's, of course, that's another philosophy that some people may not, that may be hard for them to embrace. But it again, kind of goes into that inspirational, intuitive aspect of helping to understand a person's role in this lifetime. We're looking at these numbers you know, we see that there's a lot of, you know, life experience here. However, you know, this time around on this planet, it's they're still kind of getting used to how things are done here. And, you know.
We're such babies.
You know,
really,
and this
planet is just such a baby planet.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, and I really do believe that there are times when, you know, sometimes when you feel, you talk to yourself and you go, what planet are these people from? You know, that may very well be exactly how it is, you know. Or at other times when you feel like nobody else is on the same planet you are. But, and I do find, this is something else, I find a lot of times in numbers, after talking to people and having the incredible opportunity to do numbers for a group of people who all know each other or for an entire family or something, and seeing how those numbers interact and realizing there's a pattern there where different numbers do find themselves attracted to others like them. They will tend to have friends who have similar numbers because it's almost like recognizing, oh, that's somebody who's like me, you know, that's somebody who don't understand me, yeah. And I do see that a lot, and it's very interesting. So there's definitely something to be said for that, that we do tend to be drawn to vibrations that are very compatible or similar to ours in terms of friendship and relationships and what have you. At the same time, we're going to find ourselves challenged by certain things as well, and there's definitely a pattern where that's concerned. And really, numbers is all about patterns. You know, that's part of what we're looking at is a repetitive pattern of energies and characteristics that come up time and time and time again.
Do you think that studying numerology, or did it work for you this way, was it a way of opening your psychic awareness or your ability? How much psychic work do you put into your charts? Or do you just use chart information?
Oh, you know, it's barely a chart. I mean, I had to finally come up with a chart because people kept asking me for a chart.
You do. A public, she does a wonderful chart. She does a wonderful thing. Very in-depth.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I never really know when I get into somebody's numbers just what exactly is going to come out. A lot of it is somewhat inspired in terms of, I mean, I never know what information about everything in the world I've ever studied, and that can be all sorts of things that's going to be important to this person to help them understand this number. Part of my job in being a numerologist, doing this type of work, is to help you understand yourself. You know, it's one thing for me to just say, oh, yeah, you know, this number means this, but that sometimes can just sound like Greek. And so in a sense, part of what I'm doing is a thorough interpretive suited specifically for you, you know, in your language, inspired, you know, to help bring that information across. I think the shortest reading that I've done that was, you know, really sitting down, because I usually kind of go into a meditative state, and that's my preferred way of doing it, and really taking the time to just, when I get into those numbers, I begin to experience those vibrations and understanding that combination, what I need to put down here. And I think the shortest one I did was maybe, I don't know, 9 or 10 pages, but the longest one I did was over 50 pages. And, I mean, it just, she really had that much information. It was, she did ask me to look at a couple extra dates, but that was really only about 2 pages out of all of those pages. And that's just what happened to come out for her. So I never really know. I mean, some people have incredibly complicated, numbers that have a lot of different aspects to them. And others are really not that complicated. It just is what it is. And, you know, usually it seems to help, you know, one way or another for them to go, yeah, okay, that's me. Yeah, that makes sense.
What's your favorite part of numerology?
Probably the satisfaction that somebody suddenly goes, oh, and that whole freedom sense. I mean, there really is almost like a sense of release that some people experience where they just suddenly, it's like, wow. It's really okay to be me, you know, all these years or whatever, that there's a sense of awakening and a sense of self-confidence that kind of comes from that. And, you know, I like that aspect because it opens up their world to just move on to wherever it is they need to go. So
it's the service part. The technique happens to be numerology, but it's the service part of the numerology that's one of your favorite
things. Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, I find myself consumed by the numbers and the studies and, you know, how does this relate to music and how does this relate to spherics and all of the ancient studies. I find that fascinating. But as far as, like, just the aspect of what makes it all worthwhile, yeah, it's right there, you know, and seeing
how it
really
does help
people.
You know, I get that same answer almost 100%. From everybody that I talk to, whether they're astrologers like you and numerologists, you know, I'll go to the psychic fairs, and that's kind of one of my favorite questions to ask people. What is your favorite part of using your tool? And inevitably, it's how the tool services others.
Well,
now, I know you were drawn to numerology.
Huh? I said, and that's how it should be.
That's how it should be. Rarely, maybe once or twice, I've gotten an answer that had totally to do with the tool. They just found it, like you said, consuming in some way, but they were just so attached to the technique itself that the service was a byproduct, which is, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, that's just not the usual answer that I get. You're right in there with 90%, 99.9% of the folks that use a tool, whatever it is in this world.
And I can understand the being consumed by it at times. I mean, I've had some times where even, like, in the middle of the night, suddenly I am up. I call it my wall of planning, but I have a wall in my house that is covered with whiteboards. And, you know, and I use my markers, and I just get going. I've spent times where I'm in the middle of the night. I can't sleep because I feel like I'm downloading information, and suddenly all these patterns are coming out, and I'm running through and looking through all of my various books and looking up on the Internet to find a reference to see if this fits what it is that I think I'm seeing in my head. Yeah, I understand some of that. But at the same time, it wouldn't be worthwhile if it didn't benefit people. You know, that's the part that gives me the high, so to speak, is seeing how there's that freedom aspect. That's the part that I love.
What is a master number, and how does it influence?
Aha. Master numbers. All right, well, when we're talking about
what
master
numbers.
What are
the master numbers?
The master numbers are numbers that are repeated digits. So if we're talking about, you know, normally we have the number 1, and if you see the number 11, which is 11, that's a master number. 111 is also a master number. 1111 is also a master number. So any time that you see that those digits repeated of a digit, whether it's 1, 2, 3, whatever it is, that is a master number. For the most part, master numbers are only more recently being explored. For a long time, numerologists wouldn't even accept the existence of them. And then when they did, they only accepted 11 and 22. And then later they added 33. And then later they kind of grudgingly accepted 44. And so it's only more recently that we're kind of branching out all the way out to 99. And that's definitely part of where I feel like my place in this world is in the research and the expansion of master numbers out, you know, not just to 99, but all the way out. Because our world, our race, even, has come to a point of evolution that it's necessary. In a way, I kind of see it as the same way that in astrology, when I know that Pluto has been demoted and isn't a planet anymore, but upon the discovery of Pluto, suddenly astrology had to come to grips with, oh, how do we interpret this new planet? And it was necessary for the times. It was, you know, coming to that point of evolution, just as in the days of Pythagoras, there came a point of evolution where it was time to embrace the 9. You know, even though the ancient mystery schools, you know, didn't trust them with 9, now it was suddenly time to use 9. You know, now we're reaching a point where master numbers are important. And you know, we've come to that point, and our lives have evolved to that point, but even our names have, because, you know, once upon a time, we didn't have, you know, multiple names. We only had one name or maybe two names. Now it's very common to have three or four names, or some have a lot more than that, which really is quite complicated. So we've reached that point, and that's in looking at master numbers. To explain it further, master numbers deal with spiritual lessons, as opposed to the core nine numbers, which pretty much deal with the physical world. Your master numbers are all testing numbers. When you find a person who has a master number, they're going to find themselves constantly being challenged by various types of whatever their specific master number energy is. Each one of those entails different types of tests and challenges. And in a sense, you know, a person who has a master number, when they came here in this lifetime, they basically raised their hand and agreed and said, you know what, I could take on a little extra and have agreed to be pillars, so to speak, to help others. A master number person's part of their job in life is to help serve the world, and not just the way that a nine would, but to an even exponential point. So I try to explain a master number vibration is almost like a compounded vibration. You know, it's not simply the base number. It's a compounded vibration that is just bigger in a bigger dimensional way than simply this dimension here. And so a lot of times they'll find that they will have trials and challenges and things that may seem physical in nature, but they have a lot of spiritual lessons to them. And master numbers are, in a sense, about mastering those situations and mastering
that stuff. That's a good way to put
that stuff.
Mastering the situation.
Mm-hmm. You know, in a sense, it's almost like, okay, you said you wanted to have a spiritual life and serve others. Do you really mean it? You know, will you really, even if you're going through some not-so-fun things, will you still be that way? Will you still be an example? Will you still reach out? Will you still be a teacher? Will you still be a servant? And in a sense, you can look at master numbers in those ways. I find that the more master numbers somebody has, which, I mean, master number people are, you know, people who have a master number in any of their four or six numbers is actually fairly rare. It's not that common. There's only so many master number days in an entire year. And there's only so many letter combinations that bring out a master number there. So the more chances of having a master number, the more master numbers, I mean, a person having more master numbers than just one goes up, in rarity with each addition. And so in each case, you find that each of those people are driven by different things. They tend to lead very incredibly interesting, sometimes exciting lives. They could tell stories like nobody else in the world can. Sometimes people might find it hard to believe that, man, all that kind of stuff happened to all one person. But it does. And there are people that really did, on a karmic level, you could say, before they came into this lifetime, agree to go, yeah, I'll do all that. I'll put up with all that. And in a sense,
I have some clients, and you probably do too, that we would wonder about that.
What's that?
Bite off, girl, or God.
Uh-huh. Well, and there are times where, you know, that's kind of part of what you may think. It's like, oh my goodness, why did I agree to this? So,
when you got started, how did you get started? Did you read books? Do you have any suggested reading for our listeners, authors in particular, that you would suggest now?
Well, I definitely could recommend some authors. As far as how I got started, I mean, I don't think I could really pinpoint a real particular point. I remember I had a really unique teacher who she was married to a psychologist, and a lot of times she would bring things up in class that she and her husband were working on. They were doing a lot of work in right brain, left brain education, which was cutting edge at the time. And somewhat radical thinking. And she also happened to be the principal of my school, so it was kind of interesting. She did a lot of advanced, gifted, and talented type teaching at that time that this wasn't really done in too many places in the U.S. And she would talk about different things at times that opened up my mind a bit, I would say. I remember her doing an experiment on ESP, which, you know, is kind of fascinating that somebody would do that in an elementary
school. Let her get by with it.
Well, it was, you know, it was outside the regular public school system, so I guess it's part of.
Aha.
But in either case, it was definitely fascinating. Now, on top of that, my mother comes from a long line of intuitive people. Her grandfather was, and her grandmother as well. They were both well known, what was then called water witchers or water dowsers. And so I would say, you know, there was a certain amount of intuitive aspects there that were kind of always there. And, you know, I was also a musician, still am, but I was very consumed with music and music theory as a child and found myself fascinated with the patterns. And so, you know, falling into the whole patterns and what have you just became kind of natural, and it just sort of evolved. So I can't really say that I pinpoint, you know, a point where all of a sudden it just completely triggered for me.
But it did, and that's what counts.
Yes.
We're going to have to start wrapping it up, and I ask you about some books. If you don't mind, if you would send me a list of books or post them on your website, which is www.dragontea.net. You can read about her, and it's a cool website. If you want to post some books there, teachers, favorites of yours, where people getting started in this can go, that would be great. Send them to me, and I'll post them on my website as well.
Okay.
My guest this evening has been Julia Chambers, a Central Texas numerologist, and an excellent one if you folks out there. I'm sorry we didn't have any calls for you, but next time you'll be on again with us. We've barely scratched the surface. I've been trying to get Julia to do a series for me, a teaching series. Maybe we can talk her into doing that. Next week we're going to have an aura photographer, Hilda McKinnon. We lovingly call her Aura Mom. She's out of San Antonio. She's going to tell us about our energies around us and how they're captured by a photographer. You can find out more on my website, ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. And I'm going to miss visiting with you. Are you going to be at the Psychic Fair in August?
I plan to be there, yes. So
good.
Look for me there.
You're going to be there both days, do you think?
That is my plan, yes. Because
okay.
School won't start for the kids yet, so I should be able to be there.
That's going to be August the 4th and 5th here in Austin, Texas at the Radisson Hotel. That 6000 Middle Fiskville Road. It's North Austin, folks. You can check out the websites, and we'll get you directions and so forth. But enjoy having
you. I have it on my
you.
Website as well.
Oh, great. Great, great, great. And I don't mean to hurry, but they want us off by 25 after, so we have to say goodbye. Thank you
okay.
for being with us this evening. I
thank
hope
you
that you'll let me know. I'm sorry?
I said thank you for having me.
Oh, we'll do it again. Let's do it again in the fall.
Sounds good.
Sometime in the fall, yeah. Folks out there, let me know what subjects you're interested in, and I'll try to find an expert for you, just like Julia was our expert this evening. Join us again next week, and remember that thoughts are things, so please, please, please have great ones. This is Elaine Ireland signing out for Going Global for Spirit. Thank you, Julia. Be
Thank
safe.
You.
Good night.
Bye. Have a good night.